Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Who the hell am I? This is my second opportunity to sit behind this microphone and speak to what is perhaps the most loyal audience in all of talk radio, because you know that when you tune in to the Dr. Michael Savage program, The Savage Nation, you're going to get the truth in its unbridled form. It's going to be hard if it's hard. It's going to be painful if it's painful. And it's always going to be savage. There is no other icon like Michael Savage and this radio program. None. It is hated because it tells the truth when other talk radio programs obfuscate, avoid, and fumble. I am a professional actor. I have been for 40 years. You know me best, if you know me at all, as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, or Reginald Barclay on Star Trek The Next Generation and Voyager. I have been a conservative all of my life. Another actor recently said that. I have never been on the other side of the aisle. I don't know why, other than the fact I understand the tenuous nature of life, that what you have today could go tomorrow. And so you live it today instead of tomorrow. You look at the realities of things. I am a common citizen, a common sense citizen. I have an average IQ. I'm average in every way. I hear things the way most people do, and what do I want? I want somebody to tell me the truth. I get it on this radio program when I'm on your side. And now I understand, without any question, that that's my obligation when I have this great privilege and honor to sit on this side. I know I'm sitting in somebody else's house, taking the space that belongs to someone else, and it is a revered space, and I will do my very best to give you what it is that you want. And I don't mean to give you what you want, because I'm pandering to you. Because I know you've tuned in here to hear the truth. That's what's different. That's what I want. And I don't get the truth very often today. I'm a casual, constant listener of radio. Since I was 16 years old, I have been focused on talk radio. I used to have a little 7-transistor RCA Victor radio. And instead of watching TV, I had a radio with me in bed and a little earphone, and I would turn the dial, trying to pull in radio stations from New York City. I lived in Baltimore. I found out later in life that that was where I got the truth. Not from my political science professors in college, but from talk radio. I don't know why that is the case. I suppose it is the freedom that one has and expresses when, and one's understanding of the obligation that you have when you are sitting here. That you have to give something back. And your observations to everyone in society are very important. Because we want the truth. We want something that you don't get on the news any longer. We used to think we got it, but we don't get it anymore. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Well, we're going to talk about the mosque, which is a disgrace. This whole situation in New York City is a complete and total and utter disgrace. Because we all know what the problem is. We all know what happened on 9/11, and we know who was responsible for it. And we know where the ideology that was responsible for the destruction of the Twin Towers and for the attack on the Pentagon, we all know where it originated. We know it was Osama bin Laden. And we know he issued a fatwa. and told everybody in the world why he did what he did. But for some reason, for some unbelievable reason, since 9/11 and since that fatwa was issued, we don't have anybody going back to the fatwa. In fact, because there are so many Muslims in the world, 1.3 billion, we don't want to deal with the fact that a religion and a political ideology have been fused into one. How do we separate it? Well, the easy way was not to separate it. We'll just pretend that the problem that we have on our doorstep doesn't exist. You see it with this administration. We're not going to call it radical Islam. No. We're not going to call it radical Islam. You mean something else? A lot of names we could call it. We could call it radical Islam. What was that? I don't understand what that is. What is it? What? Yeah, that's right. What is it? What is radical Islam? Well, in the words of Ali Mohammed, Osama bin Laden's right-hand man, I'll tell you one thing about Islam. He said, this is a man who penetrated the FBI, the CIA, and the United States military. You can hear him in a documentary called Triple Cross. It's played on the History Channel frequently. Ali Mohammed said, without political domination, Islam cannot survive. There's your key, folks. There is your key. Without political domination, Islam, according to him, Osama bin Laden's right-hand man, cannot survive. Now, I've been through this before because I'm 62 years old. It was called communism. Many, 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 many years ago. There's a great similarity here. If you read Andrew McCarthy's book, Grand Jihad, you will see in the pages of that book that there is an affinity between the ideological gurus in radical Islam and communism. They love it. They love it. What they don't like is it's atheism. But they hate capitalism. We are the enemy. We are the great Satan. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So, folks, we're going to talk about this mosque in detail. We're also going to talk about some of the problems that we have in politics here. I keep hearing about Hillary Clinton running and taking over. Obama sinking in the polls. Who is Obama? I don't know. Do you know who he is? I don't know who this guy Obama is they're all talking about. You see all these polls. No one knows what his religion is. And now we have people saying, well, they don't understand why they don't know what his religion is. Why are Americans confused about the president of the United States? After all, he said he's a Christian. We're going to get into that. I have some quotes of Obama, from Obama, that will clarify for those elitists and those who are lawyers and those who follow the media. I have some audio that will clarify for them why you and I have some confusion about who he is. Not that there's anything wrong with that. The telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255. And when you hear Obama in his own words, from his own lips, say things which are problematical, the elitists will understand why we have a little bit of a difficulty, just a teeny weeny difficulty, understanding who this man is. He spent 20 years in a church that claimed to be Christian but is not. It practiced, Jeremiah Wright practiced black liberation theology, which had its origins in Nicaragua with Daniel Ortega. Does that confuse you at all? They took Christ off the altar and put a Sandinista soldier there because they were fighting with the Catholic Church when Ronald Reagan was fighting them with the Contras. Yes, that's where the religion started. That's where it started. And so this president of the United States, he joined that church here a black liberation theologist church with Jeremiah Wright, who hates America and who has praised Marxism and communism in every chance that he gets. And so Americans have a little difficulty in understanding who he is when he says he's a Christian. I saw today that there are some ministers and pastors there. Secretly, we've talked to him. We've counseled with him. Well, most of us take people at their word, but this president has problems with that. And so it's consistent in his inconsistency. And it is proper for the American people, because we have no media, to ask a simple question. When the president spoke at George Washington University, and when the president covered up the name of Christ in Latin with a black plywood box, speaking at a Catholic university, cover up that name of Christ, will you? A lot of us wondered, well, why is he doing that? But we don't have anybody in the media to ask that question. So therefore, I deign to call this man the first inferential president. He's the first president in modern times who can say and do anything, but we must infer what he means, because we have no organization, no fifth column, no fourth rail, no independent media, which is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution, to really do the job for us. So we are left, and you are left, to finding the truth on talk radio. You tune into Michael Savage, the Savage Nation. And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. A little bird just called in to the radio station to remind me that there is a difference between the fifth column and the fourth estate. And that is true. I was unfortunately attempting to analogize the two today, because we do not have a fourth estate. Even though it is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution, they fail to do their job. In fact, they are in lockstep with the President of the United States and his liberal, progressive, and I claim Marxist policies. That is my position. And it is very reminiscent, almost everything that I hear, of this worldwide disease called international communism that is still alive and out there, by the way, if you don't read the newspapers, which I'm sure everyone in this audience does. But we fought it brilliantly, much the same way as we're doing now. We denied it existed, although President Roosevelt's two closest confidants were both agents of the communist Soviet Union. Alger Hiss and Harry Hopkins, for many, many years we pretended that that was not the case. We're going to get into that a little later, but I want you to hear a comment by Faisal Abdul Rauf. Why we have to say these names? I don't know. It used to be Jim Smith. It was so much easier. Most of these names are assumed names. Assume true. Assume three, four, five, six names. This will tire them out. Somehow, intellectually, they'll become doped. All right. Play Faisal Abdul Rauf.
What's right with America, what's right with Islam, are in fact very much in sync. All of Sharia law is basically the fulfillment of five fundamental human rights. The right to life, the right to freedom of religion, the right to family, the right to property, and the right to what is called, under Muslim law, mental well-being. Now, how similar is this to the American Declaration of Independence, which declares that we were created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, which was originally property. When you unpack the concepts and ideas this way, you will see, this is why I call America a Sharia-compliant state.
Oh, there we have it. And so therefore, all over the world where Sharia has been instituted, we should see flourishing democracy as we see it here in the United States. Isn't that the case? It is the case nowhere. If this is the case, good Mayor Bloomberg of New York, will you please put a stack of Bibles, 10, 20, 30, 40, however many you can slam into a suitcase without extra charges today. Fly to Saudi Arabia, get off, go into the middle of town, and start proselytizing, even though you're a Jew. So we get two for one. I'm a Jew selling the Bible, the Christian Bible. Who wants to take it? Here we go. Judaism in one hand, Christianity in another. Here I am, salvation is mine and yours if you only buy these Bibles. I dare you. I dare you. I dare you. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. We know Sharia everywhere. It's on... Well, after all, the President of the United States... The President of the United States himself said that Islam had a great deal to do with the creation of this country. Yes, he did. How many of you remember when you were in the first grade, everyone telling you about it? The great joys of Sharia, Sharia Park. Sharia, we heard it all of the time until 9/11, didn't we? We didn't know how to pronounce any of these names until 9/11. All of this was shoved down our throats. We were murdered on 9/11. And now cowards are saying, that's not, you know what, if they'll do this, then maybe they'll do that. And so we can't even name the enemy. We can't even name them. When we return to the Savage Nation, you will hear out of the president's own mouth why there is confusion in the ranks of the American populace here in the Savage Nation. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
One of the points I want to make is that if you actually took the number of Muslims, Americans, we'd be one of the largest Muslim countries in the world.
Oh! This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. And let me just make that sound again. Oh! We are in one of the world's largest Muslim nations. You all know that, right? Did anybody wonder why someone in the media, those who are protected by the First Amendment of the United States, didn't bother to ask him where he got his figures or what made him think we were one of the world's largest Muslim nations? Did anybody wonder why that didn't occur? Again, I have to introduce myself. You may wonder who the hell I am. I'm a professional actor, worked on television, stage, film. I was in a film with Paul Newman called Fat Man and Little Boy, which was filled with raging liberals running around with Noam Chomsky books under their arm. I had my conversations with Paul Newman, who's always a man of grace, I have to say this. But at the same time, we saw eye to eye, but disagreed completely about the world situation. At that moment in the late 80s, the Soviet Union was falling apart. And Mikhail Gorbachev, who was the custodian of the greatest environmental and industrial disaster that the world has ever known, who was soon to change colors from red to green and begin a worldwide environmental organization called Green Cross, was still the president of the Soviet Union. And Chernobyl was the worst-case scenario. Remember the China Syndrome? Probably responsible for the fact that we haven't had a nuclear reactor built in over 40 years in this country and that the International Green Movement, a communist Marxist, yes, that's right, just complementary colors, folks. We're red, now we're green, now we're red, they'll never find us. But no jokes, no laughter, no interest in the American media. Why? Why? David Weston told you on 9/11 when he was asked, about the attack on the Pentagon. Was it justified?
Well, you know, I just don't know. I mean, give me a couple of days. I'll think about it. I think it's okay because, you know, enemy, I don't know.
He came back a few days later. Oh, my mistake. It was wrong.
We have a cabal of phonies and frauds.
And we, the American people, are confused. Because those who are specifically protected by the Constitution with clear words don't use that protection to do what they're supposed to do. Those words were there for a reason. The framers of the Constitution understood that the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, wasn't worth the paper it was written on without the investment of faith in that document. And that faith came from above. It came from outside man. Not from secularism. Not from feet and dirty fingernails and political beasts who wanted to shove thoughts down your throat or kill you if you didn't accept it. But we had rights that came that were from something that was greater than man. And without the investment of that understanding, nothing. It meant nothing. A big zero. Your faith and my faith in the government and in that paper is the only thing that makes that paper worthwhile. That is why it is such an astonishing document. And why the people who support it and who are willing to die for it are astonishing. Today, only 1.5% of the American people have any connection with those who are dying and who have willingly are willing to give up their lives to protect that document and us. After World War II, it was almost 50%. Not today. And today we have a president of the United States and a speaker of the House who are shoving things down the throats of the military without any connection with the military whatsoever. In fact, the president of the United States doesn't like the military. He's going to denude and has denuded the military of its money, of its power, of its ability to act in the future. And our Secretary of Defense is leaving now. They're cutting in the military in order to give to those around the country who will turn out and vote for this president and for Nancy Pelosi and for the most radical enclave in the United States of America, the 8th Congressional District in San Francisco. But this is not clarifying. This is a haze. Now, I'm going to play another cut of the president of the United States. Another example of why, in an intellectual way, we are confused. This is the president in Cairo. Now, I want you to just listen to this very short, and I want you to think about what he's saying here. Cut 10, please.
I've known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed.
I've known the Quran on three continents until I came here to where it was first revealed. And what was it? Play cut 9, please.
As the Holy Quran tells us, the Holy Quran teaches that the Holy Quran tells us, and
the Holy Quran, I'm on the continent where it was revealed. And then he bowed to the Saudi king. He bowed to everybody, of course. But who says Holy Quran? As an American, I ask you, who says Holy Bible? Have you heard him say Holy Bible? Who says Holy Quran? Who says that? Oh, he know what? Listen, he was speaking to Muslims in Cairo. He was trying to win their hearts. And so he uses their language, he uses the intonation that is necessary to gain their trust, and he uses the language that they understand. And he said, called a prayer, one of the most beautiful things ever heard in his life. He was raised that way. He was at a madrasa. But he used the word Holy Quran. How many times have you heard American members of the media refer to holy cities in Iraq? Have you ever heard anything else referred to as a holy city of Bethlehem? Have you heard that? No. No. How many times have you heard this president say things that were conflicting? He's a Christian, but he belongs to a Marxist religion? Because that's what black liberation theology is, folks. A Marxist religion. Could it be? Could it just possibly be that the truth, the thing that you look for when you tune into this radio station to listen to Dr. Michael Savage, that the truth is not a possibility with this president? If this is one of the largest Muslim nations, and it is the Holy Quran, then is it not legitimate to ask, is he a Muslim? Is he lying? I have some evidence. Because I don't believe he's a Muslim, by the way. I don't believe he's a Muslim. I believe he's a Marxist. And I believe that he is following good Marxist socialist principles here. In the Communist Manifesto, Marx basically said, we'll work with anybody. We'll work with anybody. Anybody at all. Doesn't matter who, where, when. We're gonna work with them. It doesn't matter. Because once we get power, you see, we know how to kill. Figuratively, of course. Any other ideology. Because we are special. This president will say anything that he has to say. How many times have you heard him say that we were going to save money if we passed health care? Did you believe him? No, of course you didn't believe him. He lied. He lies on a continuous basis. He lies up every single day when he talks. And he does talk every day. He talks so much that we turn him off. And we have very special programs on the internet to find out what it was he said, because we don't want to hear it anymore. But what does he do? He does what communists have done. Yes. He does what Soviets were taught to do. You say anything that you have to say, anything at all, in order to get the job done. Because the ends justifies the means. Back in 2008, not too far ago, not too long ago, right? A figure from the past, a communist, his name is Morton Sobel, denied being a communist for many, 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 many years. Well, when it was finally established after 40 years or so that Alger Hiss was indeed a communist, it was really settled in 1996 with the publication of the Venona Decrypts. But Mr. Sobel, 91, reversed himself. He came out and he said, hey, yeah, I was a communist. I'm a communist. Yeah. I never thought of it about being a traitor. I never thought about it in those terms. No. Now I'm going to quote to you from him. This is what he said back then in 2008. He lied for 40 years, remember, along with all the other commies. They either die or lie. This is rare. Because the only reason he came out is because he knew that there was no treason any longer. Doesn't exist. So Mr. Sobel said, when he was asked about his espionage, what I did was simply defensive. I just gave the Russians something about an aircraft gun. This was defensive. There's no big difference. No big difference. No problem. There's a big difference between giving that and stuff that could be used to attack our country. Oh, like taking away your defenses is not making you vulnerable to attack. But that sufficed. That was sufficient. Were there charges brought against Mr. Sobel? No. It's too late to do anything to his. He's dead. Too late. Howard Zinn. You can tune into the History Channel and see the people speak. Yeah, go ahead, do it. The great History Channel. You just tune in, and you have a good shot of seeing Matt Damon and any number of other phonies and lackeys supporting the ideology of a communist who lied about being a communist and an agent for the Soviet. Well, I don't know if he was an agent. He was a member of the Communist Party until 56. The FBI files make that very clear. But you didn't read about this in the paper until recently, just very little bit, little tiny thing. The fact that he's got a special on the History Channel and he's still propagandizing through his lies. He hated America, like Noam Chomsky does. But the media in this country doesn't give a bloody damn. And you have to tune in to this radio station and this program to get the truth. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I am here struggling to understand what is happening in this world just as you are. I tune in to this radio program when I'm sitting where you are in order to be given a clue, to be given a little help, to be given a prod. And I hope that I can do that while I am sitting in this revered spot, one for which I am deeply grateful. But an inferential president, which is what we have, is not a good thing for the electorate, for the Constitution, for the judiciary, for the bureaucracy. It is not a good thing when the people who elected a man admit in polling that they don't know who they elected. There were some people who told you ahead of time, but we were called cranks. Savage was attacked. Others were attacked for using terminology like Marxist, red, descriptive terms, because we've been denied the right to call people what they are. I'm sure you all remember the Attorney General of the United States who called us racial cowards, all of us. I'm sure he was talking about himself, too. He attempted to avoid using the term radical Islam. He should say Islam. Because denial of reality is what this president is about. But how is he doing it? When you stand back, I can say to you, here is the Obama strategy.
Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos. I'm an agent of chaos. Oh, and you know the thing about chaos? It's fear.
Fear. Chaos. Yes, through the smoke of chaos. Through fear. Through masking all truth. I will be triumphant. It's an old trick, folks. Rent the film Dr. Zhivago if it hasn't been banned by this administration. Rent it. You'll get a little idea about what that's all about. Think about it for one moment if you can. Go back to the beginning. The fundamental change in this country was coming. When he was running for president, he accused Republicans of what they were about to do. They would say he didn't look like any of the other presidents on paper money. And oh, by the way, he said, they will say, I am black. The moniker of racism, right there for everybody to hear.
And what did he say about you folks? Oh, you know, you're bitter. Yeah, you're bitter and you're attached to your religion and your guns. Don't much like strangers, new things. Don't like it. What happened when he became president? Well, I just mentioned to you a moment ago that the esteemed attorney general called us a country of racial cowards. Oh, and the specter of criminalizing the former president and vice president was on the table. Yeah, we're going to look into that. Crimes were committed. We're going to see to that. Oh, yes, and you know what? We're going to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in New York. We're going to close down Gitmo and get those terrorists into the U.S. where we know a circus when we see one. Three rings. You won't be able to keep your eyes on the nut. Yeah, we'll do that. And what else are we going to do? We're going to destroy the healthcare system in this country, the best healthcare system in the world. Oh, and by the way, we're going to have a cap and trade system because your breath is a pollutant, your CO2. Yes, your CO2 is a pollutant. And if you don't pass this bill, we're going to get the EPA to do it. That's right, folks. Everywhere and anywhere you look, chaos. The telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. More chaos when I return.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I said it earlier, who the hell am I? Well, I have a t-shirt that says Dwight Schultz was approved by Savage once. If I make it through, I will have been approved twice, and I will have another t-shirt made up. But it has my name on it. And proud as hell I am. Who am I? I'm a professional actor. I have been for 40 years, always a conservative. Best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, because there was a film. And Reginald Barclay on Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Voyager, many films, plays, TV. How did I survive in Hollywood? Well, I didn't exactly survive. It ends up in self-imposed exile. Many people think that in Hollywood, there is a blacklist. There may be, but it is on a cocktail napkin. I don't think there is a list of conservative actors the way there is of old actors. I think once you reach a certain age, you're out. But that's because of money. You see, if you pull in $30 or $40 million over the weekend, everybody wants to work with you because they want a piece of that pie. But if you are a typical actor, as I was, you had to enjoy work. You had to go to work and really like it. But I didn't like the people that I was working with most of the time because they assumed I was a liberal as they were. Ronald Reagan would be called four-letter words. George Bush would be called four-letter words. Sarah Palin is called four-letter words today. Still, and people just... I used to stand up and say, "No, you're the dip-dip-dip-dip-dip-dip." Then tears would be shed, and I would feel guilty. And go home and realize that that was not the appropriate action. Then I shut up. Then I lost my dignity. So what did I do? You eventually just slowly float away outside. Do as much as you possibly can to stay alive. But if you cannot bear being around people who are insufferable fools and ignorant, as well as louts and bores, it's very hard to go to work. And I work on a daily basis. Only once in my life, when I was on the A-team, did I know what I was doing the next day. Otherwise, I audition. It's audition, You have to get through somehow. And you have to maintain your dignity. And if the only way you can do it is to confront and walk away, well, then that's what you do. But to know and read as much as you possibly can. And basically, radio programs like this kept me sane. I would go into my little room, which had a toilet. Thank God I had a toilet. And I would listen to radio. What was going on in the outside world? And I'd say, there are people who think like me. They're just not here. They're just not here. And that's how I stayed alive. So what are we doing now today? When we get to the third hour of this program, I am going to play for you something. I simply cannot believe that this has not been done. Ted Olson appeared on Fox News Sunday to talk about Proposition 8 out here in California, the gay marriage amendment, against gay marriage amendment that was voted on by the people of California. And Ted Olson, a conservative, spoke for some 12 minutes with Chris Wallace and was guilty of perhaps the most fundamental logical error that I can possibly imagine in an argument, and Chris Wallace just let it pass on by. If we allow it to pass, all of the judiciary is as bad as it is now, but everything will be affected by it. And so I'm going to have to bring it up in the third hour of this program. You will be stunned. It is a basic tenet of logic. You can go up on Wikipedia and see examples of it. And yet it is promulgated by this man, and no one took it to task. No one anywhere. I don't understand it. It's, of course I do, too. People who deal with this every day get tired of it. People get tired of having to fight. And this is something about chaos that works. It's taxing. It's tiring. It's foggy. It's much harder. Have you ever driven in a snowstorm? When you can't tell whether you're moving forward or not at night? You're like in a star field. Your hands are sweating. It's almost like flying an airplane. If you've ever soloed in an airplane, you have sweat rings when it's over. But we are in a world in which we should have help, and we do not. And so we have to provide it for one another. You are a comfort for us, and we are hopefully a comfort for you. I mentioned earlier that there has been some scuttlebutt that this president's not going to run for a second term, or he's going to be unseated by Hillary Clinton. Another Alinskyite. The last time I sat here, I was able to let you hear Alinsky's words with his own voice, so you could get a sense of who he was. And I'm sure you... Oh, by the way, has anybody been up there to michaelsavage.com? And have you looked at the Playboy interview with Dr. Savage? I must say that a few weeks ago, they were toying around with the idea that I was going to fill in again. And I went up there and I read that interview, and I had missed it. I was shocked that I had missed it. I don't know how I did. And I read it, and I was deeply happy with what I read, because Michael Savage in the Playboy interview is exactly the Michael Savage that you hear on this microphone. Exactly the same person. I was also thrilled that the individual who was doing the interview was as uncreative and clueless as you assume liberals to be. Not one creative question. Every question couched as some kind of mysterious attempt to sandbag Dr. Savage, and they couldn't do it. And the reason I bring it up, why you should go up there, it's a delightful interview, you should read it, is because this Saul Alinsky piece appeared in Playboy magazine many years ago, back in 72. But this is who your president admires. It's a little known, a little known fact about him, and also Hillary Clinton. She wrote her thesis in college on this man. He's asked by the Playboy interviewer, much better back then, by the way, didn't you have any compunction about consorting with, if not actually assisting, murderers? That's the opening question in this segment. And Alinsky says, not at all, since there was nothing I could do to stop them from murdering, practically all of which was done inside the family. I was a non-participating observer in their professional activities. Although I joined their social life of food, drink, and women, boy, I sure participated in that side of things. It was heaven. And let me tell you something. I learned a hell of a lot about the uses and abuses of power from the mob. Lessons that stood me in good stead later on when I was organizing. Isn't this funny? Another thing you got to remember about Capone is he didn't spring out of a vacuum. Capone, the Capone gang, was actually a public utility. It supplied what people wanted and demanded. The man in the street wanted girls. Capone gave him girls. He wanted booze during Prohibition. Capone gave him booze. He wanted to bet on a horse. Capone let him bet. And then he killed whoever he wanted to. It all operated according to the old laws of supply and demand, as if there weren't enough people who wanted the services of gangsters. Gangsters wouldn't be in business if people didn't want them. Everybody owns stock in the Capone mob. There you go, folks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big Al, Big Al. He loved them. Yeah. That's the guy that your president, the man whose religion we do not know really. We don't know who he is, but we know he liked Alinsky. Saul, to his friends. Yeah. You hang around with people like this all the time, don't you? Isn't it strange how motion picture directors, famous directors, some famous actors, some famous writers like to hang around, like Norman Mailer, who got Jack Henry Abbott out of prison and who immediately killed somebody, wrote a book called In the Belly of the Beast. They like to hang around people who have the power of life and death, or be around people who have killed. Isn't it funny? They like that. That's power, you see, folks. Life and death over other people. That's power. That's attractive to some people. But not everybody. Somewhere along the line, you have to say, is the attractiveness of that greater than the desire to serve others? Or is the attraction to that something that overrides the willingness and desire to serve the Constitution of the United States and the American people? And so when you ask yourself, when you look at the polls and say, American people don't know what religion this president is, was there another question that the pollster should have asked? Do you know what he stands for, really? Do you know what religion was practiced in the church that he went to for 20 years? Do you know why Daniel Ortega said that if he was elected president, that the ground for real revolution will have been laid in the United States? This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255. And we are going to go to John in San Diego. You are on the Savage Nation, John.
Oh, pleasure to talk to you. I was just thinking about the old story of the frog in the pot and how if you eventually just turn up the heat little by little over time, the frog gets fried and doesn't even know what hit it. And speaking about this mosque thing and 9/11, it seems to me, I remember watching the video as it was happening back these many years ago, And that has always been etched in my mind. There's not a day go by that I have forgotten that because I choose to think about it. And my point is that I think that the American people, even as soon as 6 months after the fact, fell asleep. They vowed that they would never forget. However, they did forget. And we are now without a monument to Ground Zero, and here we have, you know, the people rocked rockabye baby to sleep by the administration, with the liberals letting in every culture underneath the sun, and we are no culture anymore. And therefore, you know, this mosque more than likely will happen because of political correctness.
Well, thank you, John. That is, I think he has pretty much summed up the feelings of most Americans. However, most Americans who feel the way John does are not aware of so many Americans who have no connection to it, what happened on 9/11. I wrote about this, actually, an experience that I had. This is coincidental. The last thing that I did in front of a camera in Hollywood was for a television program called The Agency about the CIA. And I was not on camera. This didn't happen. This wasn't from somebody who was on camera. It wasn't one of the creative staff. It wasn't a director. This was someone working on the show behind the scenes. And I was sitting down, and this was in October, right after 9/11. I was deeply disturbed, as I think most Americans like John were disturbed. And this person said to me, "What's the matter with you? You know, you seem so down." And I perked up. I said, "Yes, well, I'm talking. I have friends in New York, and I'm talking about it. Here I am on the West Coast of the United States, and this is just incomprehensible to me. And I'm talking about my family and the situation at the time, and the airlines had been shut down. We didn't know what was going on in the country. It was very disturbing, and I was trying to learn as much as I possibly could about why we were attacked." And this person said, "Well, I don't feel like I have any connection with that, with all that." And I realized, not everybody is going to react the way John is reacting or the way I'm reacting. Most will, as we see by the polls. But there's a healthy chunk of individuals out there who are going to say, "Well, I had no connection with that. It really doesn't matter. Oh, no, no, no." Folks, the frog in the pot, and during the break I was talking to the producer, there's an old Winston Churchill story about, you know, they're not concerned with the crocodile. As long as they know that the crocodile will eat them last, they want to know where the crocodile is. Is it down there on Wall Street? Is it crawling up the sewer to where I'm living now on 97th on the West Side, which is very liberal and progressive? Because I'm here. Takes years for them to get up here, okay? You down there, I don't care. How are you going to get your mail? The Bureau of Pest Control is down on West Street. Downtown. They don't think about that. The only thing that concerns them is where they are at this particular moment in time. And you know it's best. They must have attacked us for a reason. It must be our fault. Abdul Rauf said it. We are connected to it. It must have been something that we did. It couldn't be their hatred for us and our culture. No. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. A member of the entertainment community, at least I like to think so, but a very small minority of individuals in Hollywood think exactly like I do. They are becoming more and more vocal. Most of us who, when I was at my prime in terms of celebrity, if that word can even be utilized, was back in the 80s. It would never have occurred to me to stand up and make a political speech at any time, particularly after Reagan and after Bush left and Bill Clinton was moving onto the stage. It would never have occurred to me to become active by on a television program or any kind of meeting with the public to throw out my political beliefs. Wouldn't happen. I don't think I'd be doing this right now if it had not been for 9/11. Although I've been a talk show aficionado all of my life and had these very deep, strong feelings, I found people that I had on the radio who reflected my beliefs, like Dr. Savage and others. And I lived through them, literally. I maintained my sanity. So did my wife. We lived our lives understanding that we were not the only ones. And I started canceling my newspapers. The New York Times went out the window. The Los Angeles Times. So now when I went to cancel the Los Angeles Times, they kept me on the phone for 30 minutes trying to explain why they were doing what they were doing, but they couldn't explain it because they started to their opinion was right on the front page of the newspaper, and it was all very, very clear where it was headed. Anti-Israel, anti-conservative, anti-religion, anti-family, pro-internationalist, pro-globalist. This was a trend. This was a generalization, but a large picture that was in front of me. And it is undeniable. It's not a coincidence that Walter Cronkite said, yeah, I would have, you know, I would have found that man attractive and I'd have married him back then. Sorry, Nancy, whatever her name was. I'm sure his wife was just thrilled. That's right, I'm a globalist. We should cede our sovereignty. Cede our sovereignty to the United Nations, created by the Russians, the Soviets. Yeah, that's right. Let's cede our sovereignty. Let's become Soros, Tyrannosauruses, little ones. But this picture is very clear, and it is not a conspiratorialist view. It's a factual view. Strobe Talbot, Hillary Clinton's foreign affairs advisor, still out there, folks, on the cover of Time magazine many years ago, predicted that the United States would cease to exist in 50 years because we had to become a globalist world controlled by one world government. Give up our sovereignty and give over. Give ourselves over to something else that's bigger and better. He lost a lot of credibility. He got canned. He couldn't get appointed because of that. Yet he was telling the truth about a large segment of the socialists, globalists, in our government today. It's astonishing. I was reading the latest copy of the Weekly Standard. You have to read this article by Jeremy Rabkin. The International Criminal Court, folks, this is what your beloved president today is moving towards. The International Criminal Court that has outlawed aggression. I understand that the NFL is seeking to sign with them. Folks, this utopian nonsense, anybody who was alive in 1967 could watch 24 hours a day the United Nations, at the behest of Abdul Nasser of Egypt, pull out of the Middle East when Abba Ibn begged them to stay because war was imminent. If they pulled out and the United Nations said, what war? What? We're moving. We're getting out. That's what they do. They are nothing but a bunch of money grubbers. They want money from the United States. That's it. They want money from rich nations. They want a way of laundering money. Every opportunity that they've had to maintain peace, they failed. They've never done anything. And yet, here is the International Court outlawing aggression. And I guess, how long do you think that's going to last, folks? While Hezbollah, an arm of Iran, arms itself to the teeth. Missile, huge miscuds. They're moving missiles around now. There are intelligence reports. You can go to Stratfor. There are intelligence reports that have been in the newspapers. They are getting ready for another war. And Hassan Nasrallah, a man who said, I just can't wait for the United States to leave Iraq. They've betrayed all their friends. I loved watching them leave Vietnam. He said, I can't wait for them to leave Iraq. Well, we're doing it, right? And Iran is immediately moving in. That's right. Because weakness is noted by those who wish to take advantage of weakness, who see it, who are bullies in the schoolyard. That's a little guy over there. I'm going to hit him. The big guy, wait till he leaves. That's the way it works, folks. You can't outlaw aggression. Well, maybe you can, actually. It's called snip, snip. I'm neutered. Hello, I'm neutered now. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're going to neuter all the males. I know at one point over there in, I think it was Sweden, they were forcing males to sit down on the toilet to urinate, trying to teach them at the outset that it's a good thing. It's standing up and peeing in a urinal is aggressive. Cut that out. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we have another caller on the line. Brad from Minnesota, you are on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dwight. Good to be on.
Thank you.
I want to go back to the poll that came out recently about Americans not knowing what Obama's religion is.
Yes.
And I want to, I guess, run this by you as far as a prediction. What are the odds that Obama's administration is looking for a church for him to go to right now up in Martha's Vineyard that he can attend sometime this weekend? The news media will be all over it, recording every step he takes, every word he says, so they can put it on either the Sunday morning talk shows or the Sunday evening news and make a big deal about it.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, if they've already started. There have already been news pieces today about all the private phone calls that he's had with different ministers. He's every day. He calls them and asks for advice. It's already started. You're absolutely right. We would all remember Bill Clinton after Monica Lewinsky. They had to get a picture of him coming out with a Bible in his hand. No, you know, you're 100% right. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's absolutely clear. The caller is absolutely 100% accurate. When Bill Clinton lied, the news media, we were inundated with, it's good to lie. Do you know cheating on your spouse invigorates the marriage? All of that, we saw it every day. We saw it at the beginning of this presidency. On the cover of Newsweek magazine, sold for $1. $1. There was a child's face. Are we racist? The president of the United States used race. Newsweek magazine used race to attack anyone who disagrees with this president ahead of time. Go ahead, let's do it. They are aggressive. The news media is aggressive in one direction, and that is against the family. Religion, Christianity, individuality, and capitalism. The news media is very aggressive, very, very aggressive against that. And they never, ever, ever question someone that they are responsible for putting in office, like this president. It has now become almost a disgrace. You'll see somebody from NBC News attacking Fox News. And they will say, this whole mosque issue it's a Fox News issue. This is not a Fox News issue, the mosque.
This is a recognizable aggression against the United States, as it's passive aggressive, yes. But we know where the Dome of the Rock is. We know what happened in Turkey. Go to Spain. Anyone. Go to Barcelona. And go to the museums there. And go to the inner rooms in the museum. Not in the outer rooms. A lot of people go to a museum just to be seen there. I wouldn't know anything about that. I go to look at the paintings and the history of the paintings. And in the inner sanctum of the museum in Barcelona are the pictures of Christians having their skins flayed and murdered by Muslims. They have a memory of it, but it's covered. Oh, it's public, yes, but it's not out where you can see it, really. You have to seek it out. It is the same with news today. You have to seek it out. And when you see the Columbia School of Journalism toying around with the idea that perhaps we should be publicly funded.
Don't you think we should be publicly funded, dear? I mean, really. I think the government should stand behind us, don't you, dear?
You know what is happening. They're losing their... You talk about losing their base. Here's a story that you haven't heard, and it's connected to almost... Have you heard that what a Chinese general recently said? It appeared in the Sydney Morning Herald, and this interview was in the Hong Kong Phoenix magazine. I got this from Stratfor. And this general, General Liu Yashu, this is what he said. A system that fails to let its citizens breathe freely and release their creativity to the maximum extent and fails to place those who best represent the system and its people into leadership positions will inevitably perish. The United States has succeeded because of its long surviving rule of law and the system behind it. Liu said, China's rise is unsustainable without democracy. A transformation from power politics to democracy will and must occur in the next 10 years. Did you hear that anywhere? All that you've heard is that China, 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 China. We got to worry about China. We got to worry about China. They're worrying too. But wait till you hear what kind of logic is being used in our legal system today. When we come back after the top of the hour, when you hear it, you will wonder whether we will, in fact, survive the United States for the next 10 years. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation, where we have been talking about the fact that fecal matter has been found in the waters of Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard. You know, it's not Martha, it's Martha's Vineyard and fecal matter. It's a heavy deal to deal. It's something I don't want to talk about, but it was thrown at me, and I am off balance. I have to be off balance for this. We are... it's talk about cap and trade. You know, when the EPA says your breath is a pollutant, it is absolutely essential for you to understand that flatulence is also a pollutant. They're going to cork you at both ends, and that's how they will be satisfied. Because you die, by the way, naturally. It's a natural death. It's not murder. It's better than partial birth abortion. All we're going to do is cap you up at both ends, and then you live the rest of your life naturally. This is a progressive commercial. Oh. Well, I had a cerebral hemorrhoid when I heard this. We'll get into this in the next hour, but I really did. I heard this several weeks ago now, and I always depend, you know, that there are many sources to alleviate the cerebral hemorrhoid. You find them out, you hear someone correct the record, and you go, oh, thank God. But it didn't happen. This is just a little taste of what we're going to have in the next hour. Now, the law. The legal system in this country is very, very difficult, very complicated. Everybody holds up this little paper, the Constitution of the United States. Unfortunately, there have been many decisions by the Supreme Court which have changed the Constitution of the United States in many different ways. So the document today is really very, very thick. You couldn't carry it around with you. Now, the intent of the Constitution is very clear to anybody with a brain. But we understand that there are people who live in this country who don't see the Constitution for what it is. We don't see anything that was created by the framers of the Constitution as necessary for our survival. These people are called progressives. They look to foreign countries. They look around. They even, I'm going to, something that was in the Boston Globe that just kills you. I mean, it's just disgusting beyond belief. But this is the difference between the liberal and the progressive and the conservative. This is Ted Olson, who's supposed to be a conservative, talking to Chris Wallace, and he says something here that is now beginning to run the country. This is now taking the place of rational, cool logic and law. Play clip 8, please.
All we have to do is look into the eyes of these individuals and decide, why are we denying them the right to happiness that we accord to all of our other citizens?
All right. I want to tell you something. That is a frightening comment. And it will become even more frightening when you hear the bastardization of logic. The destruction, wholesale destruction of logic that took place in this interview with Chris Wallace that has yet to be discussed as far. Now, it may have been, but I missed it. And if I have, I want somebody here to call and tell me that indeed you did hear it. You know. You heard this. You heard somebody point this out at 1-800-449-8255. That someone to tell me that we understand that the law that is written is to be protected, and that is not looking into the eyes of someone and somebody's happiness. That means that we are supposed to do away with the law and to do away with the thousands of years of understanding simply because we're going to make somebody happy. That is selfishness and narcissism. And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. I have been a professional actor for 40 years, a conservative all my life, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, and Reginald Barclay on Star Trek The Next Generation and Voyager. A lot of motion pictures, films, television. I've worked with Maggie Smith, Glenn Close, people that you wouldn't even know because they're dead and were famous at a time when people were on the tiny screen only, or on the big screen only, and in black and white. But I'm going to die right now. Pain. That's so you can understand how bad it is. Every single day, if I see another poll telling me that the American people are confused, but the people who are presenting the poll don't understand why the American people are confused, I'm going to shout very loudly, we're in trouble. I read in the Boston Globe, this is July 27th, this is how bad it is, ladies and gentlemen. Now this is something that Hillary Clinton wants, which means that it's on the agenda. It's on the syllabus. What we are submitting is the idea that the president should be selected by the majority of people in the United States of America. Senator James B. Eldridge, an action Democrat, said before the Senate voted to enact a bill that would work around the Electoral College. What we're submitting is an idea that the president should be selected by the majority of the people of the United States, which unfortunately happens to be unconstitutional. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It does nothing matters to these people. This is chaos. An attack from every direction at the same time, so that you will be so bruised, battered, and tired, you won't know what to do. But they're not afraid to say that what they want is unconstitutional. We have Supreme Court justices who have no problem saying we look abroad. We don't have to just worry about we look to other countries and other legal systems. Without regard to anything, the Constitution is dead. It is a dead piece of paper without the faith of the people. The majority of the people in this country, the Electoral College, happens to be there actually to protect everybody in this great big wide land, so that someone in the middle of this country who maybe doesn't live in a populous state, like somebody who decided to live near the water and take welfare payments from a big city, that person has the same kind of representation. And that if somebody wants to be the president of the United States, he must take every state into consideration. That's why we are in a republic. It is a democratic republic. It is not a democracy in the sense of chaos. We want everyone to have a vote, dead and alive. It's only rational. And that's not a joke. If we lose rationality, if we lose logic, and you know that senator cannot be rational, cannot be logical if he has read and has sworn to support the Constitution of the United States. Oh, maybe he's just sworn. He does come from Massachusetts. Yes, I can go to the bottom of the river, and I can swim without her, and then I can have sex with two or three other women. I'm dead now. It doesn't matter. Let me, where is the shore? I know the bridge is there. That's where I left the car. I wish it was a Volkswagen. It would have been floating. But it didn't happen. It sank, so I'm safe. Is anybody happy? Oh, yes, and can you get the Soviet premier on the line for me? Yeah, Mr. Andropov, I'd like to write him a letter and thank him and say, I just want to do all that I can to get his point across here in the country against this tyrannical leader we have called Ronald Reagan. No, keep the letter secret, Yuri. Keep the letter secret. They won't print it here. Walter Cronkite's in my pants pocket. That's Massachusetts. His ex-wife is going to run for his seat. Was that cruel, to tell you the truth? I don't think it's cruel. Nor is this cruel. Not to Ted Olson. He was on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, who did a terrible job of interviewing him about the Proposition 8 fiasco. A judge overruled the proposition, the constitutional amendment to the state constitution. And he did so, well, we'll get to the ruling later. But Olson had a 12-minute interview. And I have no doubt that the logic that you are going to hear was employed. It is the logic that I am interested in. It is the logic, not the emotion, although I may have emotions about this issue. I may make no bones about it. I was for the constitutional amendment, and I will tell you logically why. But I am more interested in the failure of logic to prevail. And for race, once again, to be used by liberal progressives as a tool to achieve objectives that they do not deserve. If you would, this is Mr. Olson talking about his position vis-a-vis the constitutional amendment against gay marriage and for heterosexual marriage in the state of California. Play cut one, please.
Since 1888, the United States Supreme Court has 14 times decided and articulated that the right to marriage is a fundamental right. We're not talking about a new right here. We're talking about whether a fundamental right, something that the Supreme Court has characterized as the most fundamental relationship we have in this country, can be deprived of certain individuals because of the color of their skin or because of their sexual orientation. We do not permit discrimination, inequality. That's why we have a 14th Amendment that guarantees equal rights to all citizens. It's not judicial activism when judges do what the Constitution requires them to do and they follow the precedent of previous decisions of the Supreme Court.
Now, you will note that he has analogized sexual orientation and race. They are two things that really cannot be analogized. One is a status, and the other is determined, besides characteristics, by function. Now, there are all kinds of arguments about this, but it is a stated fact in logic. And I want you to listen to this second part. It is a logical fallacy to analogize status and function. Now, how status and function are determined, or who determines it, is a separate issue. The point is it established? In other words, play cut two.
Where is the right to, you've talked about the right to marriage, where is the right to same-sex marriage in the Constitution?
Where is the right to interracial marriage in the Constitution, Chris?
There you go. The issue was brought up by Mr. Wallace. Where is the right? Now, he has said that marriage has been found to be a fundamental right. There's no question about that in his mind. And so what Wallace has asked him is, where is the right to gay marriage? Now, we have a conceptual idea about what gay marriage is. It's two homosexuals, two men, two women. If I say my paper is red and my car is red,
Therefore, my paper is a car. I have broken a fundamental rule of logic. The tree has bark. A dog barks. Therefore, the tree is a dog. Doesn't work. Does not work. It is absolutely, totally and completely illogical, intellectually invalid to make that argument. And the judge's ruling, by the way, goes into this. They're very, very clear that they are analogizing. That function is unimportant. Function is absolutely unessential in this ruling to this judge and to Mr. Olson. And so, yes, my paper is red, but my car could also be paper. Is paper. It can be, because there is no distinction between the two. I can analogize function and race because I want to analogize it. It doesn't wash. If this is allowed to stand, and I don't think it will be, by the way, I think it will go to the Supreme Court of the United States, and this will be overturned for the reasons that I am stating, not for any emotional reason, but for this reason. Because if we allow function and status to be analogized and to be equated, we are in for chaos for the next 10 years. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Now, this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We are listening to Ted Olson on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, perverting logic, destroying logic, and Wallace just allowed him to do it, analogizing status and function in an extraordinarily important case for our sociological reason, for sociological reasons, for the very survival of the way we, of our way of life in this country, the family, a destruction of the family, something that the Soviets desperately tried to do. It should not happen. It is causing malicious harm in every area of our civil discourse. And yet we have to go down this path. At least we have to go down and understand that logic is being thrown out the window. If we can understand that, at least if the worst comes to worse, and if marriage as having been understood for 2,000 years is thrown out the window, we at least will know something about why that logic did not prevail and that there are remedies to illogic. There are. But we have to understand that it is specious to compare sex and color in a human being. I'm going to read to you part of the judge's ruling here. Proposition 8 fails to advance any rational basis in singling out gay men and lesbians for denial of a marriage license. Indeed, the evidence shows Proposition 8 does nothing more than enshrine in the California Constitution the notion that opposite-sex couples are superior to same-sex couples. Now, let me just say, he's using the term superior. The word really should be different, because we recognize differences. One of the problems that we have in our progressive Marxist socialist society is an attempt to blur the distinctions between sexes, as if there is no difference. It is the path of destruction. The path of lemmings. Over the cliff we go.
Over the cliff we go. Over the cliff we go. We're no different. Ah, boom.
It's sick.
The word superior shouldn't have been used and would not have been used by a judge who was making a decision for logical reasons. But I'm going to say this is as clear as I can. A gay black man can marry a white gay woman. Absolutely. For only one reason, in the definition of term. It's like a car. This is not a car if it has no wheels, no engine, no windows, no frame.
It's got a body frame there. It's got a transmission in it. That's got a transmission in it. And that transmission is used to move that vehicle. The fact that it doesn't have wheels, the fact it doesn't have that frame that you want, or those windows or that steering wheel, it's still a car.
No, it's not. We've decided that that's not a car. It's a frame with a transmission. It is not a car until it works. When we return, more of Ted Olson with Chris Wallace and the destruction of logic in the United States of America. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Dwight Schultz, I'm a professional actor, have been for 40 years, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, Reginald Barclay on Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Voyager. I've been a conservative all of my life, was prompted after 9/11 to podcast and to become involved in what I saw as problems in our society, with understanding what, in fact, had happened to us on 9/11. Someone said to me that they were not connected to what happened in New York. I found that, I couldn't fathom it. And my life changed. I realized that what she said to me was, my feelings about things are common. I have average intelligence. I have average interest. Well, maybe greater than average interest. And I have the luxury, because of my occupation, of being obsessive, looking for information and news and looking up information about people. I've spent my life doing that. And here we are listening to Ted Olson talk to Chris Wallace on Fox News about the rejection by Judge Walker of Proposition 8 in California, which was a constitutional amendment in favor of heterosexual marriage, defining it, and against gay marriage. It is my position here, and it is my only position, that Olson uses a perverted form of logic, which is common. It's a joke. You go up on Wikipedia and look up syllogisms. He analogizes status and function, which cannot be done. My paper is red. My car is red. Therefore, my paper is a car. And he does it time and time again. And the use of race is, I take umbrage at it. It's disgusting. Race. This is not about race, nor is this issue in any way related to depriving people of their freedoms because of race. A black man is a man. He functions as a man. His color is black. A white man is a man. He functions as a man. His color is white, or yellow, or whatever you want to call it. Pink, I don't care. But white. My car is white. This man is white. Therefore, this man is a car. No. And what they have done here is the judge has used the word superior in saying that opposite-sex couples are superior to same-sex couples, according to this proposition. That's nonsense. This proposition basically states that a man and a woman can procreate. Can. Baby coming. It's not going to happen. We're not talking about petri dish stuff that's outside it. We're talking about natural law, something that Elena Kagan didn't want to talk about. A man and a woman function. It's obvious. A man and a woman can give birth to a child, promote a child, procreate. Two men can't, two women can't. No matter what they do, what combination of the Kama Sutra they get into, it's just not going to happen. Because there is a difference. And that's what this is about. So we have a term to define difference. It has nothing to do with superiority. Two men want to love each other. There are men I say freely I love somebody. I'm not going to have sex with them. Because I'm a heterosexual. I have no sexual desire. And I'm somebody who believes that you are born heterosexual, homosexual, or perhaps somewhere in between. But you're born that way. When I started to love women and I have a sexual attraction for women, that force was overpowering. And I believe men are probably the same way. Women are the same. With the variations in between. But in general, we're not talking about even that. We're talking about a function. Marriage was set up publicly to proclaim the union of a man and a woman for procreative purposes for the next generation. And we looked to it, and we did it publicly, and we celebrated that. And when kings didn't have sons, do you remember they killed women years and years and years ago? Procreation was a big deal. Now this judge says times have changed. We still need the next generation. We need genes to meet. And there is still, regardless of what this judge said, he says, oh, the evidence. There's no difference between a child raised by two men or two women, and a man and a woman. Nonsense. Your common sense tells you it's nonsense. And the studies that were used were all studies promoted by proponents of gay marriage. Now, I'll say this. The proponents of Proposition H didn't come for the fight, but then they didn't expect raw, perverted logic and pure emotionalism to win. They should have, but they didn't. Now I'm going to move on to, this is cut three of Ted Olson talking to Chris Wallace.
The Supreme Court has said that marriage, the right to marry a person of your choice, is a part of liberty, privacy, association, and spirituality guaranteed to each individual under the Constitution. When you say same-sex marriage, you're saying a particular type of marriage. The Supreme Court has looked at marriage and has said that the right to marry is a fundamental right for all citizens. So you call it interracial marriage and then you could prohibit it? No, the Supreme Court has said no. The same thing here. The judge, after hearing
all
3
right,
weeks
cut,
of
cut testimony... All right, cut that. You see, he's trying to... This is a canard. This is a lie. He's throwing it in there. Interracial marriage, which was prohibited, and it was wrong because there were abolitionists who were members of the framers who drew up the Constitution, and they knew that slavery was a disaster. It was an immoral practice. Abolitionists were everywhere when the Constitution was framed, and there is no difference between a man who is black and a man who is white. None. But there is a difference functionally. When you put two men together and a man and a woman together in terms of the potential for procreation. The difference is in that particular marriage, that which can't be called marriage, is that there can be no child. None. The term marriage is simply a term. He's analogizing every time he does it. It's a terrible thing for people who are black in this country. And it's going to be a burden on members of the homosexual community who don't want children. If this continues,
And we are not allowed to define marriage as something which exists for the purpose of procreation. Even, and I cannot bear when, oh, well, men and women don't have babies. What happens if somebody don't want to have a baby? Well, that has nothing to do with function. If a man and a woman come together and they are fertile, they can have a child. We do not stop something. If a man and a woman come together and one of them knows that they're not fertile, okay, we know that functionally they are not going to make it. However, it is a convenience thing. This is the truth about society. We still say they can marry. And also, there is always the potential that somebody who is infertile, that their fertility can be remedied. Infertility can be remedied. That potential exists. It doesn't exist with two men. Oh, someday in the future, yes, you'll be able to take the zygote and put it on the colon, and the child will... This is science fiction. It's also an attempt to destroy common sense in our society, in which we say, this is a chair. This is a table. This is a stool. This is a car. This is a scooter. This is a motorcycle. No, you can't do that. I'm going to sue. Now I want you to listen to what Olson says about this judge stating that the Constitution prohibited this amendment, because the California amendment said that gay couples were superior to, even though it did not. It simply said that a heterosexual male and female define marriage because of the procreative question. That's what it said. What this judge said was, no, we have to redefine marriage. We are redefining it. And we're saying that it's a particular type of marriage. And this is what Olson says to Chris Wallace, vis-a-vis the question about activism, that this is a judge writing the law as opposed to interpreting it. Cut four, please.
This is what judges are expected to do. It is not judicial activism. It is judicial responsibility in its classic sense.
Judges are not, and I say this to me, again, is another statement that is a heinous comment. Judges are not to look into the eyes of plaintiffs and look for happiness. That's not what they're supposed to do. Which is what Ted Olson says a little later here. We'll play that for you again. They're not supposed to look for happiness here. They're supposed to look at the law. They're not supposed to say, gee whiz, let's see, marriage is between a man and a woman for how many years? I think we're going to redefine it. No. He says this is what judges are supposed to do. Judges are supposed to coldly and unemotionally look at the law and defend it because it was passed by legislatures and people in legislatures who represented the people. Even if he disagrees with it, he is supposed to look at that law as written, and he is supposed to look at it in a reverential way. I read to you a little while back what they're doing in the Massachusetts legislature. We are submitting... What we are submitting is the idea that the president should be elected by the majority of the people of the United States. The Constitution says no. That we're a republic. And that the president is elected by representatives. So what we're saying is we're changing the Constitution. You're not supposed to do that. That's illogical. That's emotional. Because they're angry about what happened about Bush versus Gore. Here, Ted Olson is saying you have to look into the eyes of these people who are denying happiness. There's not going to be any happiness. There's not going to be any happiness. play cut six.
What, how do you define what is judicial activism and what isn't?
Well, most people use the term judicial activism to explain decisions that they don't like.
That is a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. And he knew it. And he ought to be ashamed of himself. And they laughed about it. Judicial activism is not complaining about something that you didn't like. Judicial activism is precisely that, writing new law when it's your job to defend the law. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
All we and have to do is look into the eyes of these individuals and decide why are we denying them the right to happiness that we accord to all of our other citizens.
Now, this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. And that was Ted Olson emotionally preening. We look into the eyes. How can we deny these people happiness? I don't want to take anybody's happiness away. I truly don't. And when I say this, that my best friends are homosexuals, it is a cliche because it is true. I am not, for 15 years I was in the theater exclusively where all of my friends were homosexuals. This has nothing to do with prejudice or bigotry. And it really doesn't have to do with happiness. This has to do with the law and a definition of terms. Now, if the Constitution, if we change the definition of marriage, it's going to change. If it is not a man and a woman, then another term will be developed between heterosexual couples that will redefine again the term. And there will be no happiness because it can be redefined as opposed to it staying the same, being understood. If gay men and women in their unions, civil unions or whatever union they have every single civil right, then what are they looking for? Happiness? They will be happy because the law says they are married? When no heterosexual couple says it or says, okay, we're going to call ourselves something else? Or is there something else at work here? An approval. If it's approval, this is a disaster for the gay community. Just as it was during the bathhouse issue years and years ago, when honest heterosexuals attempted to stop rampant sex in bathhouses was killing their friends. And they were told to stop because they were trying to impede the gay lifestyle. It is the same thing here. There is a burden that will fall upon homosexual couples. And they will suffer for it emotionally because they will not get what they're looking for. Many people in the entertainment industry never get happiness when they become multimillionaires. Because the money doesn't bring happiness. You have to have the potential for happiness for that money to bring you any satisfaction. People think money's going to make them happy, and it doesn't. Destroying logic and saying that paper, this paper and this car are the same, or this heterosexual couple and this homosexual couple are the same, will not bring happiness to those who have used perverted logic to achieve a verbal objective with nothing behind it. There is a difference. There always will be a difference. And if we have tribulation
and destruction in our society, in which procreation becomes highly important, all of this will be forgotten. It'll all go to the wayside, along with so many other progressive causes. All the turkey will disappear. If you're born without legs, we all feel for you and we'll do everything that we possibly can. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dwight Schultz, and I have been sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.